Now, the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
Browns training camp officially underway. All players set on the field for the start of the preseason yesterday. We heard from Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski a number of times during his press conference. We also have a clip here from yesterday, the Browns putting out on their social media, talking about the struggles of going into a late July practice for this Cleveland Browns squad.
It's hot out here. Guess what? It's going to be hot tomorrow. Okay? Get used to it. Get used to practicing hard because there's no other way to callus up your body. There's no other way to callus up your mind. Team on three. One, two, three.
You heard it, boys. Get used to it.
How did it take 5 years for Kevin Stefanski to suddenly realize, like, hey, the best way to callus your body is to go and practice hard in the heat of Cleveland when it's 90 degrees in late July and early August? I just don't get that.
Because I think this is the first year where there are different expectations for them. Because in each of the first few years of Kevin Stefanski's tenure in Cleveland, they were a team that was expected to be good, a team that was expected to be in the postseason. We don't have those expectations for them this year.
I think that he needs
to approach things a different way, because in previous years, I do think that they were planning on making runs to the Super Bowl. I don't think this organization is planning on that this year, nor should they be. I don't think he is either. I think he just said that. What I think they need to do is sort of rebuild a bit of a culture here. And I think that's how this starts. I don't think that in previous years, Kevin Stefanski and the rest of the Browns front office and coaching staff felt as if they needed to rebuild some culture. Right now, I think that they are almost starting from the ground up as far as that goes.
I don't know, man. You were coming off the heels of Freddie Kitchens. I think they knew they had to build a culture.
But that was the smart, tough, and accountable thing, and it worked.
Yeah. But was smart, tough, and accountable not being more physical at training camp practices? Because all we've heard about at least the last 2 years especially, and I can't speak to...
And that was also different with COVID. Think about that,
2020
too.
2020 was different. That is a good point. That is a really, really good point, like, that first year you couldn't do as much.
Maybe it would have been like this that first year, but we were in unprecedented times. So I think that year was more about, let's keep everybody healthy and not sick and available on Sundays. Yeah. And I think that was probably the right way to go about it.
That's probably the best point on this as to why things were a certain way back then in the way they held practice. And maybe it got away from them the last 2 years where it was like, you leaned too much into just trying to protect everybody on the field. What I was going to ask next was, like, does it come off as disingenuous, though, when, like, this guy's been preaching one thing to some of these guys for the last 4 years, and now all of a sudden he's like, you know what, now we're going to be tough and physical, and they're just like, what's going on?
How many guys that were on the roster 4 years ago are still here?
Well, and I also think, too, some of those guys probably see it as, like, a good thing that, like, a coach is evolving, right? Like that,
sure.
So that should be positive in that way. But I think the COVID thing is probably the best point. I think COVID screwed so much up in the way they did things. They got kind of stuck in their ways. And then the last 2 years, it became even more about that. And they finally realized, like, okay, time to change things up.
Well, you mentioned Myles Garrett. He had his comments regarding his expectations for the Super Bowl and Defensive Player of the Year award, which would be the second of his career. Now, Myles wasn't the only AFC Northerner to be touting the potential of a Super Bowl throughout yesterday's first run of training camp press conferences. This is Steelers general manager Omar Khan espousing the same sentiments.
Yeah, obviously there's pressure. You know, our goal is to win a Super Bowl, and that's what I'm striving for. I mean, that's what they want. That's what I want. So it's our goal.
Also doing the same is Ravens tight end Mark Andrews.
Yeah, I don't know about different. You know, I think there's always the goal, you know, of reaching it to the end. And we've been so close, haven't gotten there. I just think, again, it's us staying, you know, composed, focused on the growth of this team this time of year and getting to where we want to be week one.
But I think it's just like you guys said, this is the sentiment that all players, coaches, general managers have once you get to the first day of training camp. It's like, hey, clean slate. Let's do it. Super Bowl.
But even then, for both those organizations, that should be their goal right now.
Yeah.
Like, the Steelers are a perennial playoff team that has not won a playoff game since the Obama administration. And they have a mercenary quarterback. Like, they have a quarterback that is there for 1 year with the goal of winning a Super Bowl. Like, that is what the deal in Pittsburgh is. The Baltimore Ravens are a perennial playoff team that has come up short despite having a Super Bowl caliber quarterback and Super Bowl caliber rosters. They need to have that goal. They are in a different position than the Browns right now. Now, do I believe either one of those teams are going to win the Super Bowl this year? No, of course not. I don't think either one of those teams will. But that should be their goal without question. I have no I have nothing bad to say about that being the goal there. I just don't think that's the goal here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, you have to wonder at some point the Ravens have to break through, right? But you just don't know.
I
think it's funny that, you know, Mark Andrews says the Super Bowl thing, and then the coach is saying the, maybe it's not Super Bowl or bust.
Yeah, it's a loser mentality.
With the, you know, if people laugh at the Steelers because they'll be like, are they, they haven't won a playoff game in how long? You know, are they really Super Bowl contenders with Aaron Rodgers at the age of 40? Like, I get all that. But the way they built this roster and everything they did, they are clearly thinking it's time for us to get over this hump. So I don't blame them.
And they should be.
Yeah, I don't blame them for having those aspirations. It makes more sense coming from somebody in the Steelers organization than it does Myles Garrett, obviously. But like, I think to Mitch's point, like, yes, this is just the first day of training camp is national, you know, explain why you're a Super Bowl champion day, essentially, in the NFL. Like, everyone has their reasons why.
Going over to Major League Baseball yesterday, the Cleveland Guardians victorious once again, 3-2 over the sliding Baltimore Orioles, a game in which is the 11th victory for the Guardians in the last 13. And Stephen Vogt talking about the benefits of having clutch hits from the likes of Kyle Manzardo and All-Star Stephen Kwan.
I feel like we've talked about it a lot in here over the year, clutch hitting, situational hitting. It's taking what you get. It's learning how to hit. It's learning how to, you know, not every swing are you going to be able to take your A swing and get the barrel to it. You still have to find a way to do something positive.
You know, even though the Guardians, even until the recent past couple of games, have been struggling with runners in scoring position, tonight, last night, I think, is such a big growing point for those guys to really be able to come up in the clutch against better teams. I'm not trying to say Baltimore's not a good team, but they're just not a good team.
They're not a good team. They're a bad team, in fact. I would like to see this against better. And listen, I can't fault the Guardians for this. You play who is on your schedule. And the fact that the Guardians are beating bad teams is a good thing, without question. I would like to see them do this against some good teams. And granted, the last time they played a good team, they swept them in the Houston Astros. So maybe when they start playing good teams again, we will see a different version of them. But I'm just kind of going to reserve the right to withhold judgment until I see them beating good teams.
Yeah, listen, this is all part of the story in baseball. It's 162 games. There's so many ups and downs. You're going to have 10-game losing streaks like they had. They're going to have a streak like they have right now.
I don't think you have
everybody
to have
doesn't
10-game
have 10-game
losing
streaks. No. But that's my larger point here is, like, I know everyone's getting excited. I know people are talking playoffs again. Owen predicted they'll make the playoffs. Daryl predicted they'll make the playoffs. Owen actually, I hope Owen's back tomorrow, because if they sweep the Orioles, I'm going to make sure I bring up the fact that he said that he thought the Orioles would win at least one game in the series. So we'll get to that at another time.
Yeah, that'll show him.
Well, it all goes back to the conversation we had the other day, which I'll tell you off here. Anyway, I'm trying to keep in perspective here. Like, yes, this is great, but I still saw this team for an entire month struggle to hit the baseball and do much of anything offensively.
So I'm hoping that's not the one game you're talking about is not today, because me and my family are going to that game, and we don't want to be spoiled.
I know. I want the Guardians to win. Because the whole premise of when I was, remember I was doing my schedule thing, and I was talking about the beginning of the Browns schedule and how we've made this boogeyman, and he was like, yeah, man, like, I get it. People lose games. Like, the Guardians are probably going to lose one of these games to the Orioles this week. And I just think it'd be funny if it didn't happen. I can go back to my schedule take. That's all.
I got you. Nice win against the Phillies last night, by the way. And last night, as we said, we had the Club 520 podcast, former NBAer Jeff Teague talking about LeBron James, and was asked the question, who was the more ultimate version of LeBron, the one in Miami or the second run in Cleveland? This is what he had to say.
He was on steroids, bro. He had to sit out. He was on steroids for real. Like, legit was on steroids, bro. Allegedly. But, like, he had to sit out. But y'all remember when they told him, like, y'all remember that, though? No. When they was like, he got everybody, they started testing for HGH. And he had to sit out. Like, he said his back was hurt. And he sat out for, like, 3 weeks. And he came back skinny. This is just, I was in the league. I remember. And he came back in. He was crazy, though.
Teague did go on the Patreon version of the podcast later on and clarify that he was joking.
Okay, but if you're joking, you don't say the word steroids that many times. You don't bring up the fact that, like, remember he was, like, gone for a little while and then he came back. Like, he alluded to it and he said allegedly one too many times, I think, for my liking and probably LeBron James' liking. There's two things professional athletes never want to be labeled as. They never want to be labeled as, like, quitters on their teammates and all that. And they never want to be labeled as cheaters or, like, PED users. Those are, like, the two worst things for your legacy. I don't think LeBron finds this funny, and I don't know that joking about it is funny, really, in the grand scheme of things.
Right, and I do think that Jeff Teague is somebody who has carved out this niche as a actual good former NBA player podcaster, because yeah. I think that's a rarity. I don't think
actually
most...
good.
No, but like I think his podcast is actually entertaining, yeah. and I, once upon a time, covered Jeff Teague when he was in Minnesota. He's a very funny and entertaining guy. But as part of that deal, there are going to be times where you cross a line and the joke doesn't land. And I think this might have been one of those times where, because we have gotten to the point now where when something is like over the top good, we say it's on steroids. And I think that is kind
the
of what
the first time
Jeff
he worked, said it, that's what it sounded like.
Like,
but then he just kept
and then
going.
He's like, oh, maybe like, that worked. And I just think that this was trying to find a comedic balance that didn't work.
Can we talk about the fact that the clarification that it was a joke he put on the Patreon, which is behind a paywall? So if you're like, oh, hey, I'm joking, but you have to pay. You have to pay for it.
Subscribe for my apology.
Subscribe for my apology to LeBron James. That's a whole nother level of trying to make
really
money.
Quickly, I had that clip right here.
We were saying he was so dominant that, like, bro, you 280, but I was joking. Like, people like, how did you know he was on steroids? I didn't know. I don't know. I don't care. Because if he was and I knew, I would have told him to give me some.
And that's it for about last night.
Oh, man. Yeah. The last thing the NBA needs is another scandal of somebody doing something. When they got these betting scandals going on, and they got the, obviously, we know about the Tim Donaghy situation back in the day. They don't need that. Anyway.